This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson along with Melissa Hammer. And we start with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the North Dakota Mill. Wesley, Iowa's Studer Harvesting is hard at work on corn harvest right now. Owner David Studer saying that it's going well, but the dry weather has hurt yields.
We're very dry here. We really haven't had much precipitation since September and the first part of October at all. So the harvest is going well and it's moving along very rapidly. Quality is very good. The yields aren't quite as good as we would have liked, but we had so much rain in this area in April, May, and June, and then basically around the 1st of August, the rain has just shut off. It's extremely dry now, and the corn is very dry. We're testing somewhere in that 14 to 16% moisture. And the yields are not quite as good as we would have liked.
Corn harvest is over the halfway mark, and beans in the area are mostly done.
Probably 60% of the corn is out, probably 40% left, and most of the beans have been combined in this area. The beans were actually pretty decent, surprisingly enough. Like I say, with the lack of rain we had in August and September, the beans turned out pretty well, probably mid to upper 60s, maybe even some of the fields were a little better than that.
Briggs Farms and Harvesting owner Justin Briggs is all finished with soybean harvest and working on corn in the Imperial, Nebraska area.
Probably about a third of the way done. Yeah, Imperial over Lawler Grant. Now we finished up the soybeans and got them out of the way, and now we're just in corn.
The dry weather has been a problem.
There's good crops and bad crops. Depends on if you caught the rains. Once we get down with corn, we'll be done and just need the rain, kind of like everywhere, it sounds like.
Peterson Farm Seed Regional Agronomist Kelsey Pellman says soybean harvest in central North Dakota has kicked into high gear.
Soybeans are full swing. A lot of guys are wrapping up. They're getting pretty close to the end. Soybean yields have sounded really, really nice. Some guys had kind of a tough start in the spring, and a few guys had a dry spell hit us midsummer, so people weren't entirely sure what to expect, but yields have been really, really good.
Corn harvest starting for some early plant, but still a couple days away for most.
A lot of guys are starting to dip into the corn. Moistures are dropping really quickly with the warm weather and the winds that we've had lately. So people are starting to get into the corn. I'm expecting within about a week or so, there's going to be a lot of corn coming off the field.
ProSeed agronomist Carmen Hardy says harvest is in full swing for most of the region.
So in our trade area, we have sunflowers, soybeans, and corn left, I would say, for the majority. And I would say soybeans and corn are going hard right now, or people are probably starting to get into corn, depending on if they're finished with their soybeans. This summer was so variable, just with kind of cool, wet, hot, too wet in some areas. So we've kind of seen all over the board, but for the most part, we're hearing very decent soybean yield results. Corn, so far, we've had some lower moistures than we were probably expecting right off the bat, and then some good yield results there, too, that we've heard.
Hardy says the sunflowers have a bit of time to dry down yet.
If the guys got them in on the early side or kind of on the later side, I would say they'll probably be ready to harvest within, you know, the next couple of weeks, also depending on if a person desiccated them or not. But they kind of have gone through all sorts of different things. A lot of white mold, a lot of phomopsis showing up depending on if you were in a pocket that had a lot of those rainy events and or dews and that type of thing. And then we're kind of on the watch out for the sunflower midge, so an insect that is kind of wreaking havoc in South Dakota.
USDA's crop progress report for North Dakota showed canola harvest at 90% complete. Carpio farmer Pat Murphy says the wind was tough on any crop still in the field.
Most of the canola is done around here. There was some that wasn't harvested yet that got in on that high wind on Saturday, and that was tough on it. I haven't heard any numbers, anything like that, but we've actually seen some up north further. That was in the windrows, and that was before the wind. That there was a wind that was, you know, week or so ago, and that got blown around quite bad and stuff. But most of the canola has been harvested here. Guys are working on a few soybeans left, and I see some of the guys are working on some corn.
Crop's looking good this year.
Canola in general, I think, was a better than average crop. I actually kind of thinking that maybe our crop was just a little bit less than what I was actually expecting, but it was still a very good crop. I think we're anywhere from probably 2,100 to that 2,600, 2,700. Of course, most of ours went in the bin, so I'm going to guess we're going to be in that 22 to 24 area. I think once we got to the July 4th weekend, we never got a lot of rain after that, and that kind of showed up. But no, overall, it's a very good crop. I'd say 95% of it's being straight harvested, so that changes the ball game a lot.
According to the Drought Monitor, nearly 90% of Minnesota is suffering from drought, and 20% of the state is in severe drought. In South Dakota, the entire state is facing abnormally dry or drought conditions. Severe drought is evident in both eastern and western parts of South Dakota. Abnormally dry conditions are seen in more than half of North Dakota. Extreme western North Dakota is dealing with extreme drought.
USDA announced more than $46 million for projects supporting veterans, underserved, and beginning farmers and ranchers to help them enter the business and improve their skills and knowledge of the industry. This is in response to the aging population of farmers in the U.S. to date. Go to Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Hurricane Milton has moved back to the open sea after bringing damaging wind and flooding to Florida. An extreme of 18 inches of rain was reported in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area. 6 to 14 inch rainfall totals are more common across the storm affected region. Container shipments were impacted by Milton. The heart of the citrus production area in Florida was hit. Major fertilizer production plants were also in the path of the storm.
Major phosphate fertilizer production facilities are located in the Tampa area. There was a last-minute shift in the track, and it does appear the fertilizer plants missed the worst of the storm. With electrical outages, flooding, and recovery efforts, it's uncertain when workers will be able to return to work. According to Farmers Business Network Director of Finance Sales T.J. Wilson, Hurricane Milton will have some lingering effects on farmers throughout the country.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one is the fertilizer, and there's some unknowns there. Obviously, there's some damage that happened here the last day down there. The extent of that damage, we don't know, really, but that is going to have some impact on the fertilizer production. And really talk to your supplier and understand kind of what they're doing and what position that they're taking to try to help facilitate that and put you in a good position.
The fires in North Dakota are still active and wreaking havoc throughout the western side of the state. NDSU Extension Livestock Environmental Management Specialist Mary Kina says the number of livestock losses is unknown at this time.
You know, at this time, we don't have a lot of numbers yet as far as what our livestock loss is going to look like. But we're still gathering that information, and that's really hard to do with the fires still active in certain parts of the state. You know, safety first of our personnel and of our producers and our communities, and so the assessments are really just starting. So this is a very stressful time for producers, and so we just want everyone to keep in mind that if you're not feeling okay, that's okay. Our farmers and ranchers have seen a lot of stuff in the last few days, and it's really hard to see your livestock when they're dead. And so if you're having trouble processing this stuff, text or call 988 to connect with somebody who will talk you through this.
Burying, composting, and landfills are the suggested options for livestock disposal.
This is going to be one of the first priorities once everything is extinguished. Now we need to deal with what's unfortunately in some instances that is going to be our livestock and our livelihood that was devastated in these fires. And so If you're looking to see kind of what these processes look like, we do have a video up on our NDSU Extension YouTube channel. And so if you go to the NDSU Extension YouTube channel and you search stock disaster mortality disposal methods, a video will pop up and you'll be able to see the things that we've talked about. But I just want to remind people the first thing is documentation.
Stockman's Livestock Exchange in Dickinson will see the fall calf run start this week. Co-owner John Fisher expects a good quality calf crop to run through the barn.
We're just going to get kind of started on our fall run here. Looks like about 15 to 2,000 head of new crop calves this week. Starting after this, we'll go two sales a week on the new crop calves. Going to be about between 25 to 3,000 on Tuesdays, and anywhere from about 4,000 to 5,000 on the Thursday run. Oh, we're going to have really good top quality calves every week. Going to be a lot of good black cattle out in this country. Going to have some good reds and chars also.
Fisher expects more bred heifers to move through the sale barn this year.
Come then November, we'll have our Thanksgiving stock cow and bred heifer sale. You know, that usually has about 2,000, 2,500 head on that sale. Then we'll go probably every other week through December with a stock cow sale. To be honest, I think with these prices right now, I haven't seen as much heifer retention as we have had in the past. You know, a lot of that has to do with our producers being older too. They'd rather not calve out bred heifers anymore. So I think that plays into the role a lot too.
Minnesota State University Mankato has launched a new applied ag school in partnership with the South Central College in Mankato. The partnership allows students to start at SCC and finish at MSU Mankato. SCC President Annette Parker says having an option to finish an ag degree in southern Minnesota could help keep students in the state. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. It's National 4-H Week. North Dakota State 4-H Ambassador Savannah LeBrun says she fell into leadership roles within the program at a young age and has been there ever since. LeBrun says the county extension agent helped her enhance her skills.
I've been doing stuff like that for a long time, and I've learned anything from courtroom parliamentary procedures and laws and all that kind of stuff to county laws and how the county governments work, all the way up to now how the state works with the 4-H ambassadors and what all that kind of looks like. And it's just, there's such a broad spectrum within all of the stuff that I've done, and I'm so grateful for all of it. And 4-H is just, it's one of those things that you can kind of find almost anything for anybody in if you're really willing to look.
LeBrun says 4-H has set her up for success in college and for her future.
Obviously a leadership standpoint, but as well as like a good communicator standpoint. And if I do ever step into a leadership role, say in like a community board or something like that, I am very familiar with parliamentary procedure because of 4-H. I've taken, I think, 4 classes on it. Most adults nowadays don't know proper parliamentary procedure, so I feel like that's a very good skill to know, especially for my age. And I am the secretary of the Weld Club here on campus, and I was talking with my instructors, and they say that they don't really, none of the kids know that, and even they don't really know proper parliamentary procedures. That's a skill that I can bring into even clubs around campus.
Coverage of National 4-H Week is sponsored by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the Dinner Bell Creamery, and Associated Milk Producers Incorporated. Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis up 3.5 cents, 651¾. December wheat Chicago up 6 cents, 605 even. Kansas City's hard red winter wheat December contract 3¾ cents up to 612½. December corn down 1½ cents, 419½. November soybeans down 5¼ cents at 1015 even. In Winnipeg, November canola is down $2.70 per metric ton, 612.20 Canadian. October live cattle is up $1, 189.20. October feeders up $1.12, 250.40. October lean hogs up $0.10. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.